Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, and a very warm welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Today I'd like to talk about something that occurred 42 years ago. I first heard the name Lindy Chamberlain when I was being collected at Melbourne Airport by the mother of a good friend of mine. She asked me if I had heard about the dingo baby story on the news. And not wanting to admit that I didn't even know what a dingo baby was, I simply said no. She proceeded to tell me the story of how a mother, father, and their three children had gone camping in the outback and claimed a dingo had taken their baby daughter Azaria, 9 weeks old, and that she had vanished without trace. The common consensus was that this was rubbish, that dingoes, wild Australian dogs to you and I, do not generally bother people, let alone attack and carry off a baby into the wilderness.
A full-scale search in the Ayers Rock area today failed to find any trace of a nine-week-old baby girl.
The family from Mount Isa in Queensland were on a camping holiday in central Australia. The baby's mother had earlier noticed a dog at the entrance to the tent with what she believed to be a bundle in its mouth. It now appears that bundle was in fact her 9 weeks-old baby girl.
That evening, I watched a distraught mother on television, visibly haunted by her ordeal. And I remember thinking back then that she looked like she had been stabbed in the heart. Lindy Chamberlain Creighton Nee Murchison was born on the 4th of March, 1948 in New Zealand. And in one of Australia's most publicised murder trials, she was accused of killing her 9-week-old baby daughter Azaria while camping at Uluru in 1980. She claimed she saw a dingo leave the tent where Azaria was sleeping. Without the evidence of an infant baby, the case was circumstantial and had to rely on what forensic evidence they could find. At the time of Azaria's disappearance, they already had two other children, Aidan, aged 7, and Reagan, 4 years. The initial inquiry held in Alice Springs, Northern Territory, in December 1980 and in January 81, supported the Chamberlains' account of events, believing that a dingo had indeed taken their baby daughter. But the Supreme Court was having none of this, and they quashed the verdict and proceeded to hold a second inquest in December 81. By an indictment presented to the Supreme Court of Northern Territory in 1982, both parents were charged with Azaria's murder. Michael, the father, was charged with being an accessory after the fact, and on October the 29th, 1982, both were found guilty and charged with murder. Though the judge agreed that the evidence to a large degree was circumstantial, he surmised the Chamberlains knew dingoes were in the area and they had attempted to make the murder of their infant child look like an attack by a dingo. They were subsequently accused of taking the clothes from the infant and dragging them through briars and tearing them, so it looked like the baby had been dragged through the outback. The prosecution's theory was that Lindy had left the campsite with her 7-year-old son, Aidan, but somehow managed to return to the campsite without her young son following her. And that once she was there, she took her daughter, Azaria, from her cot, obtained a pair of scissors and cut her daughter's throat. The court then claimed that she must have waited for the child to die. But experts claimed the blood found on the infant's jumpsuit did not support such a theory and it would have taken Azaria up to 20 minutes to die. They then claim she must have placed the child in a large camera bag, cleaned up the blood on herself and her clothing without attracting the attention of other campers in the park.
Mrs. Lindy Chamberlain should be charged with murder.
It was the story of the moment.
Were they guilty or not guilty? What happened?
Every time there was a news report, there was a picture, Lindy looking very angry.
They thought a mother who's just lost a baby would go around screaming and shouting.
There was no one around to ask, and I saw Aidan standing behind the tent. He turned and looked at me and said the dingo's got our baby in its tummy.
Dawn breaks over Uluru, 30 years after the disappearance of baby Azaria Chamberlain. The story of the dingo baby hasn't been forgotten by older people, especially Barbara Chickadoo, the only surviving Aboriginal tracker who went searching for Azaria that night. Speaking in her native Pitjantjatjara, Barbara says she has no doubt a dingo took the baby. She saw dingo tracks outside the tent heading away over the nearby sand dune. And she saw Lindy Chamberlain crying and grieving over her lost child. Lindy Chamberlain released a statement on her website saying, "Our family will always remember today as the day truth was dragged in the dirt. It is the day our family was torn apart forever because we lost our beautiful little Azaria." At Uluru today, even foreign tourists have heard of Azaria, and the mystery of her disappearance lives in the memories of those who followed the case. Public opinion about the Chamberlain case remains divided, with many refusing to accept the baby could have been taken by a dingo.
I'd remembered from my own previous experience growing up in the bush that dingoes could and did take smaller animals.
Well, let me ask you face to face what every Australian would ask you. Did you kill Azaria?
No way. I loved that little girl.
Everyone had an opinion about Lindy Chamberlain. I didn't have an opinion, but I was prepared to ask her all the questions. I didn't have any bias when I went to her, and I found her to be honest and probably, you know, one of the most brutalised, devastated women I'd ever met in my life. And what she went through, the purgatory she went through, was unbelievable and shameful.
How did you endure that terrible time and still come through with such grace and dignity?
Well, first of all, I have this favourite saying, it's a bit like eating an elephant. If somebody gives you the elephant right in front of you and says, "Now you ought to eat that," you're kidding. Mm. And you don't even start. But if you're given it one mouthful at a time, so you can't see how much is coming, you know, one meal at a time you get through it. And it's the same with this, you know, you just have to take it second by second. You know, and I just say to myself, "God, help me through this second, and then the next second, and then that was the only way I could do it." And knowing I was innocent and knowing God knew I was innocent, the rest didn't matter. And I think churches are wrong teaching that, you know, you should forgive because this is a Christian thing to do. It's got nothing to do with other people. They're responsible for their own nastiness and for the things they do wrong. You're responsible for you. Where forgiveness comes in, you've got to forgive yourself for getting sidetracked with all that and believing that that's true instead of what you know is true. Mm. And so you forgive yourself for getting sidetracked, and then you go on and you hand the responsibility for all the rest of that rubbish back to the person that did it. And so they're carrying the burden, not you. And then if they realise they've done the wrong thing and they want to straighten their own life out and they come to you and say, "I'm sorry," it's not a problem because you've already dealt with it. You're not carrying their burden and you can say, "Fine, you're forgiven because I moved on a long time ago." And that's where we're wrong in saying, "I have to forgive you for what you did wrong. It's not my responsibility to tell you that you were wrong or say I'm better than you because I've forgiven you, which makes me a better person." It's not about that. We have forgiveness backwards, and when we put it the right way, you know, you go back and visit the nasty things that are done to you and then you've got to go, "Stop it." You know, start again, think about where you are, and you never get over it. And you're not saying what other people did was all right by doing this. You're saying, "I'm not going to take your blame."
But here is a woman who was actually convicted just because she did not look like and sound like a grieving mother. Mm. Originally, that's exactly what it was down to. There were lots of other terrible remarks about their religion, Seventh-day Adventists, that Azaria was wearing black and it was sacrificial. All this nonsense came up, and Australia and many Australians bought into it, and to this very day, will still have an opinion about it. But simply because she was quiet. She was dignified in her silence. She didn't grieve like other people thought she would grieve. I didn't actually have any question right from the word go that a dingo took little Azaria, almost a newborn baby, beautiful smell. They will do that. They are predators. Mm. So this woman was jailed because she didn't fit our norm. And the Northern Territory, the Justice Department or Injustice Department bought into that and wanted her found guilty, and they did. It was a disgraceful period of our time, and this woman and her family, her entire life has been coloured by the events of that single day. Her marriage disintegrated. And it was just a terrible time in our history that just doesn't seem to have gone away, and people to actually be logical.
And of course, she said that the baby was wearing a matinee jacket and they never found it. And so they thought she's lying about that, so she's lying about everything else.
And then it turned up.
And then, that's right. So the very year that we went to the Northern Territory and travelled through the Northern Territory was right at the time where they had just found the matinee jacket. And it's probably worth remembering that it was only because someone fell to their death, an English tourist fell to their death off Uluru. And it was during the search for his body, which took 8 days.
Wow.
That's how big this place... I mean, Uluru is a huge, vast, amazing place, incredibly vast. It took 8 days for them to find his body, an adult man, which is tragic enough. Imagine how long it would take to find the jacket of a tiny little baby. Anyway, they found the jacket near a dingo lair, torn, blood on it. Everything that Lindy Chamberlain had said suddenly was true, and it was just electrifying. Like, you just could not imagine a bigger story. Absolutely everyone was talking about it. Absolutely everyone was either convinced she was innocent, convinced she was guilty. You see people who become famous as a result of great horror being inflicted upon them, and it is a really... It changes who you are on the inside. It turns your soul.
Her parents blamed a dingo. The police charged her parents, and Australia stood divided.
Publicly, all over the world, we've been acclaimed as murderers and had that thrust in our face.
Why was your father and Lindy singled out and accused of doing this dreadful thing when we all know now it was completely untrue?
I think that it was very unlucky that they were singled out, but I think it all goes back to the Northern Territory, and the government was very worried about it ruining the tourism. And if it got out that a dingo was going around eating children, that there'd be...
It would damage tourism.
There'd be a lot of consequences with tourism.
Do you think that the police that were there on the night initially accepted your story?
Yes.
So why did they change their minds?
I think they were contacted, and I think they were spoken to.
Because it was politically unpalatable for the tourism industry?
It was an inconvenient truth, to coin a phrase, yeah.
I find it strange and disturbing that we bastions of society are no better than the dingoes. We hunt in packs and are quick to jump on a wounded soul, savaging them as if we were the beasts. You have to look no further than what happened to Jerry and Kate McCann, how people vilified them, goaded them, tortured them, wanting to shatter their human dignity by treating them like the manifestation of evil. Had it been a different century, mob rule would have prevailed. Don't they know you can't kill the same person twice? They have already died with the loss of their infant child, their own precious flesh and blood, the same blood that still flows through their broken hearts.
Well, let me ask you face to face what every Australian would ask you. Did you kill Azaria?
No way. I love that little girl.
Keep on listening to TRP.